Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
So let me ask you some questions this morning. Do you have free will?
Yes.
Okay, about three of you have free will. So I know what the rest of you have, but I believe scripturally we can show that. Do angels have free will?
Yes.
We know that, right? Because in Revelation 12, one-third of the angelic realm sided with Lucifer, who became Satan, right? Lucifer's free will choice to make himself pridefully arrogant, like, I want to be like God. So Lucifer, in his free will choices, became Satan. And he convinced and deceived a third of the kingdom of darkness to follow kingdom of light at that time to become kingdom of darkness. We see that in Revelation 12. One-third of the angelic realm sided with him. So you have free will. Angels have free will. Did Jesus have free will? Course, right? We just shared that in communion, that on the night of the betrayal, he's with the Father in the garden asking, is there some other way that we could do your will, that I can have this cup pass? Three times. And it was so, in Luke's gospel, it talks about he was so tormented in that physical fight of what he was, so the spiritual warfare, to die for all the sins of the world. Intense. And so, but he chose the cross. He chose the cross for the joy that was set before him, which I believe is you and I. So we know from John 5:19 and John 5:30. We're not in the outline yet. I'm getting you there. John 5:19 and 5:30 says, Jesus says, quote, I seek to do the will of the one who sent me. He goes on and says, I only do what I see the Father doing. Well, how do you see what the Father's doing?
Reading the Word,
right? You read the Word, right? It says it. John, we know from 2 Timothy 3:16, the Word will encourage, equip, it'll exhort, it'll show you theology, what is doctrinal, it's good for reproof. So the Word is, if I read the Word, I get the Word on the inside, and the Word actually reads me, I can make a choice in my will. That's not what he wants. I choose this. And that's the fight, right? The flesh fight that we talk about. Okay. How else do you hear or see what the Father's doing? Prayer, right? Which is, that's communion time. With when you get in quietness before the Lord and you ask him questions and you sit quietly, and who's the teacher? Holy Spirit's your teacher, right? He's the equipper. He's the one called alongside. John 14, 15, 16 says, you have an advantage, which the Old Testament folks did not have. There's an advantage, Jesus said, that I go away, because if I go away, one scripture says, I will send. Another one says, the Father will send, which we know is the greatest gift. Holy Spirit is the greatest of all gifts. Jesus was the gift given, but the Holy Spirit then, it says in John 11, ask the Father for the gift of Holy Spirit, because he's going to equip you. So as you are filled with the Holy Spirit on the inside, you get an ability to get a sense of, that's right, that's wrong. That's, no, I got to check here. I don't think that's right. It's paying attention to the Holy Spirit will actually save your life in some situations. There's plenty of testimonies of that. So we see that the mechanism by which we see and hear is read the Word, be filled with the Spirit. So being led by the Holy Spirit and doing his commandments. Do you believe the Father's promises?
Yes.
That's a really amazing question. Of course, if you believe the Father's promises, then how come we get all wound up around the axle when things go wrong and like, oh, where are you, God? And it's like, I was reading out of Numbers 13. My wife and I were looking at that the other night. Numbers 13 is where the 12 spies go out. And you know, Caleb and Joshua, the two of the 12, these are key leaders, leaders from every tribe. So he takes 12 tribal leaders, and God says to Moses, send them into the land that I've promised you that flows with milk and honey. So they take these 12 significant leaders of which Caleb and Joshua are also present, from every tribe. They go in, and you know the story. They go in and they say, "Tell the Lord says, tell me what you see." As if the Lord didn't know what they were going to see. He already told them it was the promised land. And you know, it's God's land. Did he create everything? It's his territory, right? The earth is his footstool. So if that's his land, he says, I'm going to give it to you and your ancestors. Now go there, Caleb and Joshua and the others. Tell me what you see. And you know the story. They come home with, it takes two guys to carry one group of grapes. Now the ones I see in the food line, they're about that big. It takes two people to carry. And they also had figs and pomegranates. Whatever that is, that kind of fruit. They were also overflowing with milk. He says, yeah, we saw that. What else did you see? Walled cities. We saw the descendants of Anak. There's giants in the land. And also Canaanites and Hittites, all the pagan cities that are fortified. We saw them too. Right? He says, and we saw ourselves as grasshoppers in their sight. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. This is in Numbers 13. And so Caleb and Joshua, no, we can do this. God's with us, right? So do you really believe the Father's promises? When the giants are there and the walled cities look big and... So this is really... to challenge us to identify how you see the Father and how you see yourself. This is really the renewed self. When we preach on the identity, I ask this question, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as the old self and all your mess and all the stuff the devil tries to tell you or people remind you of? Or do you see the Father as your Father, and do you see yourself as the renewed child of God, who is now both friends and brothers? I shared this on the Christmas story when Mary Magdalene, the woman with seven demons, some believe she was a prostitute who'd been delivered of seven demons, she's the first person Jesus appears to, even though Peter and John ran to the tomb after Mary went there early in the morning and saw that the stone had been rolled away. She goes back and tells the disciples, and Jesus says, go tell my brothers and your brothers. And so they go, she goes. First time he uses the word brothers, they move from disciples to, we see friendship in John 15. I now call you no longer servants, but friends. And now he declares them as my brothers and your brothers, Mary. That's the progression of family, identity, big. So we see, glory to God. So there's this revelation of truth. So he appears. Why didn't he appear to John and Peter then? So they go back, and then he appears to Mary. And she thinks it's the gardener. And he uses the voice as Mary, and then he realizes, it's you, Lord. Go tell your brothers, I've risen. And then he shows up, walks through the wall. And of course, poor Thomas wasn't there. And yeah, he has to find out later. And then he gets humbled and falls on his face. And look at my scars, Jesus. The revelation of this truth is so amazing. So when you think that women are not in ministry, why does he appear to Mary, the prostitute? The first one at the new beginnings, right? Hallelujah. Okay, so identity matters. How you see yourself and how you see the Father really matters. In fact, we won't turn there, but in John 14, it's really the scripture of the revelation of the Father. In John 14, 17 times in those 26 some odd verses, the word Father is used. And he had just told them, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be crucified. And they go, oh my gosh, what? You know, Thomas and Philip, we don't know where you're going. Show us the Father. What do you mean, show you the Father? You've seen me. You've seen the Father. And then he goes on and says, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Twice he says, you're not an orphan. Stop thinking like an orphan. Your Father, my Father, your Father. And when everything's ready, I'll come get you. Don't be afraid. If you believe the Father's promises, how can we be afraid. It's like, because in our natural realm, there are scary things. There's wisdom sometimes in that. It says that when a prudent person sees what's coming and makes preparation, and the fool just goes on and is taken away. And so John 14 is the revelation of the Father. And four times in nine verses, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you don't love me, you won't do what I say. So that's the whole James scripture, which we shared, right? James, the half-brother, says, show me your faith by your works. Don't give me your language of your talk. Show me by what you do that you have faith. Because even the devil, we know, believes that Jesus is the Son of God, but he doesn't have any fruit to prove it. So James is the brother from Missouri, right? He's the show me guy. And so show me, don't talk about it, show me. That's why your tithes, your offering, your time, where you serve, what you do, what you say, what you watch, those are evidences of your true faith. And so we see in this revelation of the Father, don't just say it. If you love me, do what I say. So do choices have consequences? They sure do, right? If you drink regularly, you might become an alcoholic. There's a reason they call it spirits, right? If you smoke dope, they're finding out more and more and more how detrimental dope is. This marijuana, it's causing more dementia. It's causing more paranoia. It's really, go ahead, go look at the current studies. Don't believe all the hogwash. Go look at the current studies, the medical studies of what's happening to regular smoked dopers, looking at that stuff. Not only does it, and the vapors. I'm just telling you, go do it. You would be wise because choices matter. And so it's interesting. We had a fun time. We flew our grandson from Texas in 15. He wanted to go bear hunting and deer hunting with me. And so we flew him in. We went to the farm and we spent New Year's Eve at the farm. So I had five of the grandkids of our 15 total, great grands, grands. And it's like, yipes, my wife did a really good job with the credit card, blessing them all. Woo, Jesus, help me. It's a blessing. And she does it all. So anyway, we had five of them at the farm, and they had been watching survival videos. So they said, we want to do a survival sleep out on New Year's Eve. It's going to be 30-something degrees. And so I said, well, you know, my son-in-law, he's an Afghanistan vet, federal police officer, my daughter, they're rugged. They said, okay. So they said they've been teaching them in their studies and homeschooling that choices matter, choices have consequences. So I said, if you want to do a sleep out, okay, you, the 6-year-old and the 9-year-old girls, you don't get to sleep in the woods, you get to sleep in the tree fort with your sleeping bags. But you got to make a list of 10 items that you bring on your choice list to survive. So my one granddaughter decided two marshmallows, what do you call those? Not marshmallows, mushmallows, yeah, big marshmallows. She needed two of those for the tree fort. So, yeah, Rosalie, yeah, she's something else. And so, but they were very diligent. They had their lists of walkie-talkies, snacks. They're going to boil their eggs at the open fire. We had one open fire where they could come up and warm up, boil their eggs, put their potatoes in the fire. And but drink the right water. You can drink this well water. You can't go drink out of the stream. You know, we're going to make sure there's certain boundaries here. Now, the three grandsons, the two 15-year-olds and the 10-year-old, they had to build their own shelters. So Gabriel, 10-year-old, he goes back. He builds a nice shelter. Unfortunately, he faced it into the wind, his opening. My Texas grandson decided his decision was, there could be, you know, animals on the ground, so I'm going to build a hammock. So he takes vines, he builds a hammock about 3 feet off the ground. He was the first to tap out. It's really cold in a hammock. Now, might have been wise during the summertime, not a good decision. My other 15-year-old grandson, he built full encompassed lean-to with an enclosure. He was like in it, right? So at 9 o'clock, the girls tap out. Actually, Daddy goes there and says, girls, let's go get some hot chocolate. Come in. Okay. Daddy, tomorrow night, can you sleep with us in the treehouse? We'll pray about it. And so he was up all night. 9 o'clock, we go down, and he checks, because Dad's like, are these guys okay? It's now really dark. They got a flashlight. They got a walkie-talkie. 9 o'clock, he went down. He found, first, my one grandson had already tapped out, hammock guy. He was up, frozen hands. He goes, okay. The second two, now by this time, my 10-year-old is now in the lean-to that's fully enclosed with this other 15-year-old, and they're body warming together in their sleeping bags. At 9 o'clock, they're asleep. Daddy says, well, they're doing okay. Well, we didn't sleep much. We were like praying, it's like, Jesus. There's bears, there's coyotes, and you know, oh my Lord, Jesus. And so, bloodline, put the bloodline around, you know, I'm doing all the scriptures, right? But doesn't mean that the fathers and the grandfathers aren't a little worried about the choices we've let them make that they need to learn from. Okay, 4 o'clock in the morning, Juan can't stand it. He goes down there, and Gabriel's awake. He's cold. He just heard something walking outside right by the side. It was an opossum, which he's trapped before. Anyway, so father says, okay, I'm tapping you out. Boys, up to the house right now. Get in the shower because you look and smell really bad. And what's the point, Pastor? Choices have consequences. And what you choose rightly can save your life or can cause you a whole lot of harm. And it's trying to teach the children to make right choices, deliberate choices that have value. What might work in your bedroom with a mushmallow, what do you call them? Squishmallows, whatever, big thing. Might work great in, you got five of them in your bed. You don't need them when you're out in the wilderness. Maybe one. So here's my point. The father's heart. Your father has more concerns for you when you're sleeping out in the cold than maybe you even understand. That's the revelation of the Father's heart, which John is trying to get us to understand. So take a look at, I'm going to pull this all together. I pray this makes sense. Take a look at your outline. When Jesus prays the Lord's Prayer, and I've entitled this, Your Kingdom Come and Your Will Be Done on Earth as It Is in Heaven. The Lord's Prayer actually reveals the whole purpose of creation. If you want to, I'm a simple man, right? Boil this all down. What was God's plan? His kingdom would come and he would have a family on earth as it is in heaven. End of story. It's all been about from creation to formation of everything, all the living creatures and yourself, the sacrifice on the cross. He says, I'm going to have a creation. I'm going to have a kingdom, and I want to fill it with my children who love me. That's the whole plan. So when you look at, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 and look at the Lord's Prayer. It's interesting, that whole beginning of chapter 6 talks about motivation. In Matthew 6, he teaches the disciples that the Pharisees, they like to give their offerings publicly so everybody sees it. He says, you already got your reward. Then he talks about the Pharisees who pray outwardly in the streets. You already got your reward. But if you do this unto the Lord with the right motive, then I'll actually reward you openly. And look at that. Verse 4, chapter 6. And then again in verse 6, he says, what you do before the Lord secretly without trying to get the praise of people, I will reward you openly. This is the abundance of God's. So what's the motive of your heart? Why are you giving? Why are you praying? Right? It's to connect with God and to be obedient to advance his kingdom. And those motives, he says, when you do that with a pure heart, that's why the lady who gave 2 cents, right, in the offering box, and the Pharisee who said, I'm so glad I could give out of my abundance. He says, who do you think was blessed in that? Who received the actual recognition of the Lord? So when you look at this, in fact, the Lord's Prayer, he says, let's pick up in verse 9. King James says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not, or don't allow temptation to overcome, some translations. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, which is what we sang about today. Such a great song set. So when you look at the Lord's Prayer, the journey of life is, Lord, give us what we need. Let your kingdom come. Remember he told the disciples, the kingdom is at hand. It's right here. It's now and not fully yet. It's coming. He's coming. And so it's at hand. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is already in heaven. So what's the life journey? Look at verses 11 through 13. Give us what we need. Forgive us for our mess as we forgive those who've also messed up against us. Lead us, deliver us with power, and let us see your glory. So when you boil down the whole purpose of why God is doing what he's doing, is I'm going to have a kingdom and I'm going to have kids and they're going to be in my family. That's the whole purpose. So, okay. So that's God's vision. God's vision is his kingdom is coming. Amen. Well, what's his mission? Or how did Jesus accomplish the mission of God's vision, his Father's vision? Show me what you're doing so I can do it. Because if that's your vision to bring kingdom and bring people, let me see what you're doing so I can put my will in engagement with your will, and that will be my mission on this earth so I can bring many to you. Get it? Watch the reflection of this now as we look at our vision. So if you look at your top paragraph, your will be done. Well, the gift of free will is both beautiful and dangerous. It'll get you in trouble or it'll be wonderful. Our will can lead us into destructive choices or lifestyles, or we can allow our wills to be led by the Holy Spirit, which is Galatians 5. If you follow the flesh, it'll get you in real big trouble. If you follow the Holy Spirit, you'll find life. Jesus taught us to pray. That's the prayer we just read. The next bullet down, Jesus modeled this free will in the surrender. And I listed both Luke 22, but you can also look at Matthew 26, 36 through 44. The greatest battle in the garden is the one I mentioned, where he's there and saying, oh, I know what's about to happen to me in the natural. See, Jesus was tempted in all ways like us. We're pain adverse, right? We don't like pain. So we'll try to find ways to escape pain, but sometimes there is no gain if there's no pain. Those who go to the gym, you know what I'm talking about? Over there, it's like, Lord, is this good for me? It's got to be good for me, right, Lord? How many resolutions did you make, right, that are on the plate? But there's pain, especially when you deny that old flesh some food. Right, it'll be, you need to feed me. Feed me, hurry up and feed me. That ice cream that's in the freezer is calling my name. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord. Okay. So let's look at our vision. If Jesus modeled his ability to mission his Father's vision was to do his will, then that's what we need to do. Walk like Jesus. I wasn't going to go here, but my wife and I were reading this morning. Turn with me to 1 John. Go all the way back towards Revelation. And in John, the second, 1 John chapter 2, 1 John 2, what amazing scripture. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my dear children, I'm writing this so that you will not sin. But if you do sin, anyone who sins, we have an advocate who pleads for us, this is Jesus. He pleads to the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the only one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sin. That's what we're saying in communion, the sacrificial atonement. And not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If you want to know if you know God, do what he says. Now, if you mess up, it says the righteous can fall seven times and they get up. The wicked fall once and they never get up. So a righteous one will be convicted of their sin and they'll get up again. If you say that you don't sin and you say you know God, you're actually a liar. This is lifestyle. A consistent lifestyle will prove who you know. It doesn't mean you're sinless, but if you continue in a pattern of lifestyle, you will end up in darkness and you'll actually end up in the fire. He goes on, John makes it really clear. You can't keep sinning if you know, it's not a lifestyle practice. You may mess up, but it's not your lifestyle. If not, you don't know God. Go read it. It goes on and says, chapter 3 says, see how very much, verse 1, chapter 3, see how very much the Father loves us and calls us his children, and that's what we are. But the people who belong to this world, they don't recognize that we are the children, and they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not shown us what we will see. In other words, we're going to see him more clearly as he really is. Verse 3, all who have this eager expectation keep themselves pure. See, there's a desire in the will of God that there are things that you should not be doing. There are no upsides to it. That's why he says guard your heart. And so, because out of it comes the essence of life. As you harden your heart, or you stay in a lifestyle that is dark, you can actually get your conscience seared to the point where you no longer see or feel what is righteous anymore. You can look at Romans chapter 1. He's given them over to a reprobate mind, a seared conscience. When you sear flesh, it loses all of its feelings. And so he's warning us that if you really want to know God, you got to know your lifestyle is in concert with how Jesus is walking. So how does that fit with our vision? This is Vision Sunday. So when you look at that paragraph, it says the GRC vision. We haven't changed it in 28 years, I think. Love God, love people, and walk in the Spirit. Matthew 22:37 says, and you know this, when they came to him and they said to Jesus, tell us, the Pharisees came and said, tell us what's the greatest commandment. What did he say? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, right? And then he goes on, and there's a second one that's very much like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the love of God, love God with all you are. Body, soul, spirit, mind, strength. Whew. Lord, we all need help with that one. You got to have the Holy Spirit power to do that, right? Because we can justify a whole lot of stuff. He says, if you love God more than you love yourself, you'll do the commandments. If you look at, this is why knowing the Father is so important. If you see the Father as harsh, he's going to get me, he's going to whack me, as opposed to no, he's the Father up at 4 a.m. going to get you out to tap you out because it's dangerous out there right now. That's the Father, and because he loves, and because you now love the Father, obedience becomes a love relationship as opposed to I'm in trouble if I don't do this right. Go look at mamas who stay up all night with a newborn. We were talking about this yesterday. Chafin's pregnant, Marcus and Chafin, we bless you. And she's been really sick. My wife went through four babies with sickness the first 3 months. I'd come home from work and I'd find a trail right into the bathroom where she's in the, whoa, like, as soon as that baby's born, seems like the pain and the sickness, she went through it four times. I'm so glad that I'm not that. I saw this video, the man who's got a cold, he says, we need women to understand when a man have a cold, it's just like when you ladies are giving birth. We're big babies. That's why we need help. He gave us a helper. And so we see here in the vision of love God, love people, that we do this because we're required to love him, and he is love. And the more, but the second part of that is walk in the Spirit. That's why we teach this heavily all the time, that you got to have the Holy Spirit baptism. I was talking to a lady in the restaurant during the break, and I asked her, actually it was my nurse, I was getting a test, and she was captivated in the audience for 30 minutes in the room with me, so she couldn't go anywhere. And I said, can I give you a sermonette? And she goes, do I have a choice? Well, I'm paying the bill right now, so, or, anyway. So I asked her, I said, are you a believer? I like what my wife says. Are you a follower of Jesus? That's a different than believing. I like that. We use that now. Do you follow Jesus? Well, she goes, she said, yes. I said, have you been baptized? Yeah, I was sprinkled as a baby. I said, well, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? No clue at all. So I spent the 30 minutes walking through. She goes, are you like a theologian? I said, no, but I am a pastor. And she goes, and so there's something about the power of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 goes on. It says, if you walk in the flesh, it'll produce all this. If you walk in the Spirit, it'll produce the fruit. Love, joy, peace, good, right? So that's our vision. If anything doesn't line up with loving God and loving people and walking in the Spirit, you're out of vision. But how do we implement vision? That's all great, nice and lofty. How are you going to do it? What's the activity that gets you to be able to live in that vision? If Jesus said, I need to do your will, Father, so I can bring the kingdom, then how do we do the vision of love God, love people, walk in the Spirit? What's the mechanism by which Global River Church executes the vision? And I listed five. And if they fit in these buckets, then I don't even have to pray about it. Yep, go do it. When someone says, we want to go to First Fruits and minister to the trafficked women and the homeless, I don't even need to pray about that. Go. Go to the poor. Go to the broken. Isaiah 61. Those who are tormented. And when they went over holidays, Christine told us, when they went over just before Christmas, there were four brand new ladies in that. And when the song came down from Lauren Daigle, who do you say I am? You say I am loved when I feel I am lost. You say I'm yours when I am not. And they were bawling their eyes out, right, Christine? They were just like undone that they had heard truth and that someone would come and bring worship and feed them and bless them and decorate the table and give them Christmas. They couldn't understand. It was a... I don't even have to pray about that. That fits our vision. Go. We're supposed to be a hospital. So look at the five that are listed there on the mission focus. Worship. When people come and say, why do you worship so long, man? Well, we exalt God. Didn't we read Psalm 100 and verse 3? The Lord, he is God. Well, I don't like it. It's too long. It's too loud. It's not for you. I got a clue for you. It's not all about me. No, it's all about him. So, okay, I know I'm messing around, but that's true. Some people, well, I come to church late because I don't like all the worship. Oh, man. If you were invited to be the president or meet with the CEO of your company, I guarantee you would be dressed and ready. Just a thought. You might want to look at yourself in that, exalting his presence. And if it has to be a sacrifice of praise, okay. Well, I don't like that style. Okay. Offer a sacrifice of praise. Okay, number two. That's why we worship. We need to be a temple. We want to exalt his presence. We sung that. We need to gather, fellowship with family. If you want to know what your issues are, come to church and get in relationship with people. And you will find out their issues, and they'll also help you find out your issues. And then you'll get to execute love your neighbor as yourself, because I don't really love them. Hey, right? And didn't he tell us in Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together, especially as you see the day of the Lord drawing near. Man, it is near. We just invaded another country yesterday, Venezuela, and we brought that guy to justice. I mean, there's a whole lot of shaking going on right now. And so, even the pagans are saying, there's some really strange stuff going on in the heavenlies, all the stuff that's happening that we can't really understand. The alignment of the nations, that's a whole different story we'll get into as we study on Friday night. But so, fellowship, one, you'll get equipped, and two, you'll find out areas that you need to work on. How about, so we gather as a family. How about number three? Equip God's people to training. You need to come Friday nights, or when we did our Wednesday nights, you come because we're to equip the saints for the works of ministry. The fivefold ministers out of Ephesians 4, 11, and 12 are to equip you to do work. That's why you need to come out on Wednesday nights, first one, and go out on the streets and like, oh, I don't know if I have enough word. Well, we'll partner you up with some people and go line you up with Ron or Donna and let them go out and just... And you will see things out there that when people come back and say, oh my gosh, I led my first person to the Lord tonight. I got to pray for this lady whose husband is, when we went to the, we sang carols down at Trinity Landing. As I'm walking out the door, Ron and Mary Esther were with me, were there. We walk, and this woman was coming in. She missed all the caroling. And somehow we just connected. She said, what are you guys doing here? Her husband was on life support. And he had just gotten the final rites. We got to pray with her. She grabbed my hand so high. I'm like, Lord, yipes. Pray for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. No, thank God. Go outside the walls. Take it to the streets. I guarantee you, you'll come alive in the kingdom. Advance the kingdom and give the king glory. How are you going to advance the kingdom in your life this year? You're required to do it. If that's his vision, how are you going to implement it? Because you will be held accountable, right, for what you do or don't do. So these are the steps. How about releasing God's love? As a ministry, not only do we go to the nations, how many trips are we going to make this year? We're going to, I'm taking a team to Brazil in May. And Ron just got his passport. Instead of 6 weeks, it was, what, 2 weeks? So we're going to go possibly Honduras. Anyway, we have invitations. But there's a mission field right through those doors. You don't have to leave town. How come we sit in our chairs and look get fed every week and then we don't take it out and distribute food? That's not right, man. So release God's love. Help with House of Mercy. I don't know how many families we gave out, how many tons of food. We just had our audit and they came and they said, Christine, I honor you and your team. Tony, those who do this regularly, Addie, those who pray for people, those who serve there. Gary Swartz, he's not here. He comes in at what, 4 a.m? 4 a.m. to set up Thursdays for all the food that gets distributed. Those who go out and get all the food from Panera, you could be a pickup person to go and get those things for us. You can donate to it. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, when they came and audited us, they were so blessed, they just gave us another freezer. How much money? $3,000, $5,000? I don't know. We got it in a building. That was another challenge. Whew. Releasing God's love in ministry, in prayer. Number 5, evangelize. Take it to the streets. Go out. Share with share wherever you are. Share with your neighbors. Share with those who you work with. All right. So what are we doing? We already shared a lot of this. What's the plan for specifics of implementing those? Look at planning for year 2026. First Friday, come for worship. 6:30. That'll be this coming Friday. First Wednesday, which is this Wednesday, come with us, take it to the streets. We average about 30 to 35 that went out. We broke up in teams, went downtown, went to... I had some of the best encounters at Home Depot and Lowe's Home Improvements. It's really amazing. Come on those, and then you could sign up to support youth. We need people to come and share with our youth. Weren't you so impressed how they led the service on Christmas Eve? Man, reading the word, bilingual, translating, singing songs to Elena's daughter, and just up there, Grace was singing as well. It was like, wow. Find a place. Today, people are serving in our children's ministry, youth ministry. Pat's over there. She's had to set up lunch for worship arts. And she goes, but I'm serving in children's ministry once a month. I said, well, I said, go. You can find a place. What you carry needs to be released. Find your place in ministry. Some others, worship arts. Daniel's always in. We need people to do AV sound. He's training up the camera people. I love it. Brian came in this year. He's there. Mike's there. These guys, Chase is in the closet doing all the outreach so that people who are shut-ins, who actually tithe to our church, who live in other parts of the state or other states or overseas, give money to the church because live stream gets them where they can't be. That's a ministry. a big and beautiful ministry, cafe ministry. Y'all love the donuts and cafe hot coffee that Carrie this morning was setting up and going out there to take care of right now. Praise the Lord. Kingdom men, kingdom women, the greeter team, those who have a happy face when you walk in, as opposed to give your tithes and your offerings. I would encourage you, sit down with the Lord this week and ask the Lord, what's my ministry? How do I implement a vision this year? What am I going to do? And then follow through with it. That's going to be the best of all your New Year's resolutions. Let me land this thing and we'll be done. I was listening to the Hebrew year. In fact, my Jewish friend, well, she's a Christian Jewish lady, Lynn, helped me with this. In the Hebrew year, 5786, which is what we're in right now, there in the numerology of the Hebrew letters and words, they have a meaning behind each one. So 5786 actually is in Genesis 1, what talks about in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. There's two words there. Eretz is earth. Vav is the connection. And in the Hebrew, they're both there. God wants to, this is his vision, he wants to connect in the beginning. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, right? His kingdom is going to come and he's going to have, that's his, so right away you see his vision. He's going to connect heaven and earth. The VAV is the connection point. It's the hook. It's actually, it can be a nail or a hook. He's going to connect. Jesus connected heaven to earth. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to get you to connect with him and be in the vine. You're the vine connected. You're the branch connected to the vine, which is Jesus, right? John 15. And if you're apart from him, you can't do anything. So we see this in the scriptures here. This year that we're in, the Hebrew year that we're in right now, is a year of grace, 5. It's a year of perfection, 7. It's a year of 8 new beginnings. Doors are going to close. And doors are going to open. And he's going to connect heaven to earth. And then as you pull down, you listen to the rabbinical scholars that tell you about this. He says, here's what you need to look for this year. Look for massive shifts. Now, this started in September. Think about just from September to now. Look for massive shifts globally, politically, transitions. Boy, this administration, you think there's a whole lot of shaking going on? Peace in the Middle East, right? Hamas, the war ended. We're in the 20-point peace plan that they were able to negotiate between Hamas and Israel. It's not done yet. We'll see what happens. 8 wars have been settled. Uganda, stuff that's gone on for 30 years. Political shifts, transitions, closing and opening certain doors. More law and order. You ought to expect to see law and order. Boy, are we seeing that? Even just yesterday, when you get a narco terrorist who's killed hundreds of thousands of Americans, some that personally we know from this body who took fentanyl and died or overdosed, hundreds of thousands from the narco terrorists that were charged back in 2020, both in the prior administration, Biden administration, Maduro and his wife were both listed and they are fugitives of the law. And Trump talked to them several times to give him a way out. Why don't you go to Moscow, which are connected with Russia and Iran? Why don't you leave? And he didn't. So Trump said, well, we can do this the easy way, we can do it the hard way. And if you didn't hear the demonstration by Raising Cain, the General of the Joint Chiefs yesterday, you should listen to it. What an amazing feat to put 150 aircraft and all of those to be able to execute what they did to go into that country and take him out of his bedroom before he could get in his lockdown safe room without the loss of any U.S. life is an amazing feat. You think God might be blessing? I believe this is Genesis 12:3 in action. Genesis 12:3 says, I will bless those who bless Israel, and I will curse those who curse Israel. Now, I don't care what you think of Trump, whether you like, I don't like some of his personality stuff. But at the same time, you cannot argue that Netanyahu came this week to meet with the president and honored him, gave him one of the highest orders of honor from the Israeli government of a friend of Israel. He said, we've never had a friend. So where are benefits of Genesis 12:3? Whether you like him, voted for him or not, that doesn't matter. He's in office, and Romans 12 says you better pray for him. You can criticize him. You can slander him. That's not a wise thing to do. You don't have to like everything. And whatever, sometimes the things he says, oh, Lord, why did he have to say that? But he's not a finished product yet. Keep praying for him. Okay. So my point of this is where expect law and order to come into more. We're finding they've taken out 17,500 murderers that came into our country illegally. Homicide rates in all the major cities are down over 20%. Well, I don't like the policy. Okay. Pray. Ask God what to do about that. But there is law and order being put in place, right? So we see this. Kingdom revelation. There's going to be more revelation of kingdom and healings and deliverances. You can expect an increase of healing and deliverances. We're believing it. We prayed for it this morning. All right. So these are examples of what we can expect in 5786. So I list the last scripture here on the bottom of that outline. The kingdom of God is actually defined in Romans 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God, which remember, this is God's vision, let his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven as it is on earth, So we see here, the kingdom of God is, he defines when the kingdom comes, here's what it looks like. If the kingdom is in you, there should be righteousness. Now we know we're declared righteous by our faith in Christ, right? Romans tells us chapter 3, 4, and 5, I think it's 11 times, you are made righteous in Christ by your faith in him. But then you prove it by your actions, right? And so we see that the kingdom of God is righteousness. You need to live righteously. Now, if you live righteously, there's fruit that comes from that kingdom righteousness. And he tells us what it is, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you live righteously, you may still have a lot of mess going on, but there's a peace and a joy. The joy of the Lord is strength, his joy. We started all service with that. So this is that place. We want the kingdom. Know ye not that you are the kingdom of the living God? That's another one of those, what? And the greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in this world. So do righteously in your life and you'll see fruit of joy and peace. Do it in the Holy Spirit. Because he's in you and he's greater. So let's stand. The prayer I want to pray this morning is, Holy Spirit, we need your power. We need you to empower us. We need you to reveal the will, but then we need to know that that will is yours so that we can then walk in it. So that's a prayer request, that as a body of believers this year, when we accelerate 12 months if we're still here, at the end of this year, when we look back, did we advance the kingdom and did the king get his glory? Did we live righteously and are we experiencing peace and joy, even in the midst of every fight? And when the devil comes against one of us, he comes against all of us, because we're going to stand in the bloodline and we're going to declare, not on our watch. We're going to pray, we're going to see, there's going to be amazing things that are going to happen, elections, selection of people that are going to stand in the gap on school boards and on places of service. So let's, if you wouldn't mind, just close your eyes and let me pray a blessing over us. Lord, I thank you that your word is full of living power. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says the word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword, and it's able to cut between the soul and the spirit realm. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that's why he told us in Romans chapter 12, present yourselves, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, the kind that he, the Lord, will accept. And if you present your bodies a living sacrifice, he will let you change the way you think. You'll actually let God change the way you think, and then he'll show you his perfect plan and his will for your life. So Lord, would you activate Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we present ourselves, that's righteousness, in the physical realm, which is the hardest. We have to die to self, die to this old man every day. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Galatians 5, the end of verse 27 says, nail your passions, your human desires that are not right, nail them to the cross. Let them die there. So Lord, we have to take up the hammer and nails every day. It's not so, today is the sufficiency of what you've given grace for. Tomorrow is tomorrow. And so Lord, I pray that as we choose to do your will, show us the things that are not pleasing to you. Lord, we know there are so many things that we can be deceived of, we can fall into seducing spirits. Lord, I ask that you would quicken us. Let us see with your eyes that is not good. Help us to turn from the wicked ways. He goes on and tells us in Psalm 101, I'm going to read that because this is really a great prayer. David writes this in Psalm 101. Here's the prayer. Stay in that moment. David declares this. I will sing of your love and justice, Lord, and I will praise you with songs. I will be careful to live blameless life. King James says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. When will you come and help me? David asks. I will lead a life of integrity in my own home, and I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. I hate all who deal crookedly. I will have nothing to do with them. I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from every evil. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors, and I will not endure conceit and pride. I'll search for faithful people to be my companions. Only those will be allowed to serve me. I will not allow deceivers to serve in my house. The liars will not stay in my presence. My daily task will to be ferrying out evil and wickedness and to free the city of the Lord from the grip of the evil ones. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, empower us. Let this be more than just words in a sermon written for the first Sunday of the year. Lord, show us how to walk this out. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you now, in Jesus' name.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m., Wednesdays at 6:30. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.